November 4th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 59.
Pretty face and hair that is gold. Your body is nice, like a 7-year-old. I want to sing the world that you be my wife. But if you cheat on me, you pay with your life.
Nice. Hey, everybody. It's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. I am your host, the J-Strom, but I don't do the show alone. I also do it with Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How you doing, Steven?
I'm doing fine.
And I also have here the Mulberry Historian, Mulberry Bill. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
It's good to have you guys again this week, and it's good to see we survived Halloween, am I right?
Yes.
It was a miraculous escape, but we did it.
The zombie mall was terrifying.
We took plenty of antibiotics this week, and we seem to be recovering just fine, except for Vanessa. She's on elephant tranquilizers. Vanessa, actually, she took a little spill.
I've fallen. And I can get up!
And she's trying to get better, and we all wish her to feel better. Vanessa, get better soon and be back for next week. Did you guys all have a good Halloween? You get lots of candy? Did you do some trick-or-treating?
No, sir.
None at all.
I actually did some trick-or-treating. My wife and I and her mother take my daughter and her cousin. And it was like, let's go to a different neighborhood. Let's not stay in our neighborhood. Let's go to a strange neighborhood and trick-or-treat, which sounds stable, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did. So we started going door-to-door in a stranger's neighborhood. But we got plenty of candy, and that's all good. You know what's funny about Halloween? There's always that one house on the block where it's some teenage kid who's like, I'm going to scare the shit out of little kids. Like, I'm going to be on a microphone, like on a Mr. Microphone. Like, hey, we'll be back to pick you up later, or something like that, you know. I got nothing.
Wow.
That was like an early reference, wasn't it? That was for you, Steven.
Thank you.
What was that, like early 80s?
Early
80s. Late 70s
even? Late
70s
even, yeah.
Wow. Do you remember Mr. Microphone, Bill?
Yes, I do.
We're going to have to find that commercial on YouTube.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up yeah. later.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too
this
quiet.
Is it.
I think it's time
oh, my God.
For my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and testing.
I'm on the radio. I love it.
These hey, I'm on the radio. I love it.
The cordless microphone that actually puts your voice on the radio. There are no attaching wires.
Oh, man. I'm putting a link of this in the show notes.
Over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Well, thank you, stranger.
Professional entertainers use
microphone stand included.
Sweet.
And you can, too. It's practical and great fun for the whole family. It makes the perfect Christmas gift, and it's only $14.88.
Only?
Now can we get a free pocket fisherman?
Available at your local drugstore. Wow, that's great. I remember seeing that like a million times as a kid. Just on every commercial break, they'd show the movie. Hey, good looking.
Yeah, Christmas time came around, and man, did they wear that commercial out.
Yeah, it was just like, dude, I'm not getting in the car with you.
Ron Popeil was insane. He still is.
I love the lady. She's got the Mr. Microphone on a little prop and her acoustical guitar and a radio. AM radio sitting next to her. And there's a crowd of people watching. You're like, this is my sound system.
Professionals use it.
Yeah, transistor radio. God, I love the Mr. Microphone. what's exciting, Bill, is it's still only $14.95, and you can pick it up at any Eckerd's or Walgreens, I believe.
Probably so.
Bill, did you see this news this week? Do you guys remember when Tom Cruise recently got ditched from Paramount? They were like, get off the lot, you're loony,
insane.
Loony bastard.
Yeah.
You're pants-crapping insane.
Yeah. Well, apparently the people at United Artists did not think so because he's just signed a really big deal with them. I think it's better if the Today Show tells about it.
In a way, it's sweet revenge for Tom Cruise. After Mission Impossible 3 opened with mediocre box office numbers, his studio, Paramount, dumped him, ending a 14-year relationship. Sumner Redstone, the chairman of Viacom, Paramount's parent company, alleged that Cruise's public comments on Scientology and the use of antidepressant drugs turned off moviegoers, costing the studio up to $150 million. Redstone on Cruise in the December issue of Vanity Fair. He was embarrassing the studio, and he was costing us lots of money.
Mr. Redstone elected to go public in this, what I call, vicious attack on Mr. Cruise.
But Cruise and his business partner, Paula Wagner, may be getting the last laugh, reviving a well-known Hollywood brand, United Artists Studios. It's the place that was home to the James Bond franchise.
This is a very big story. It's the reinvention of a major studio, and to a degree, it's also the re-energizing of a major career.
Cruise will make pictures for United Artists and own a major piece of the studio. In a way, this story is a Hollywood remake. United Artists was originally launched 90 years ago by a group of prominent actors who wanted more creative freedom.
They started United Artists to be a company that would be owned and controlled by the artists. And now, lo, these many years later, it's Tom Cruise who's going to resuscitate it.
Show me the money!
Martin Landau.
The star's lawyer thinks Paramount made a big mistake.
So you're going to see a tremendous amount of money that in the old days went to Paramount because of Tom Cruise pictures is now going to go elsewhere, and a great part of it is going to go to UA.
At least that's what Cruise and his partners are gambling
on.
For today, George Lewis, NBC News, Hollywood.
Now, what do you think about that news? What's going to happen?
Well, it's interesting in that I think MGM actually owns United Artists at this point. It's not an independent studio. The other thing is, they've got a huge amount of money. I've heard that they've got two different hedge funds behind them for making movies with this studio. And I don't doubt it's Scientology hedge funds.
Really?
I don't doubt it.
Interesting.
Who else is going to give him money?
Now, do you think John Travolta will go straight over there and make set up shop? Sign a big deal with them?
There's probably a good chance of it.
All of a sudden, Ann Archer, Kirstie Alley, or...
Is Tom Cruise going to shut down the Scientology crap, or is he going to continue to do this stuff? Because, you know, Mission Impossible 3 didn't do very good box office, and I think it was mainly because of the War of the Worlds crap whenever he was on, you know, the Today Show and being so outspoken about.
Do you think maybe that was, like, part of the underlying thing, like, hey, can you tone down the personal life a little?
I would hope so, but because Mission Impossible 3 was the best of the three.
It was a
great flick.
I just watched it yesterday on DVD, and I thought it was
and
awesome.
And it made, like, half of what the second one did.
Yeah.
I watched it on HD DVD the other day, and it was incredible.
It was like, it had great twists and turns, great action sequences. I thought it was really cool, and it didn't do as well because people are sick of Tom Cruise, I think.
Absolutely.
They're sick of his nonsense.
Right, but I do love Baby Surrey, though. Let's check out entertainment!
I'm a black girl!
Thanks, Foggy. He's a black girl, you guys. Bill, there's this new movie with Christian Bale coming out called Harsh Times, and it's directed by a guy named David Ayer.
Is that the guy that did Training Day?
Yeah, he wrote the screenplay for Training Day, U-571, and even my personal favorite, SWAT.
Nice.
Oh, good lord.
Hopefully, I won't hold that against him, because I think it was written by like five different writing credits on the movie, and you know how that goes.
Yeah. I don't care if his name's on it. I blame him.
Exactly.
The movie sucked.
Yeah, it did. It sucked hardcore. Come on, it's about a SWAT team, and they don't even do SWAT stuff. It has to do with, like, I don't even want to get into it. It's just
some stereotypical movie. Colombian drug dealer who lands planes on bridges.
Yeah, it was just really bad. But this guy, it's his directorial debut, and he's done a movie called Harsh Times with Christian Bale. It's also got a supporting cast of Freddie Rodriguez, Eva Longoria, and others. And
Big names.
Basically, I believe it's about Christian Bale comes back from the war. He needs to find a job. He's really been screwed up by the war and violence and stuff, and it shows how he's trying to assimilate into society, and he's basically insane, I think. Is that what you're getting from this too, Bill? He's lost his mind. He doesn't know what to do, etc., etc. But here's the interesting thing, why I'm interested in this movie, because this guy, David Ayer, he's committing cinematic sacrilege if he gets to make the next film he's trying to make, and that is a remake of The Wild Bunch, Sam Peckinpah's The Wild Bunch.
No.
Which, why the hell would you try to remake that film? It's the kind of thing, like, remember we talked about before, the studio was, like, trying to get Robert Rodriguez to remake John Woo's The Killer? It's like, this guy is like, hey, we like this, remake Sam Peckinpah's The Wild Bunch. When you go, no, I'm not going to.
I hope he, like, casts Sean William Scott and...
Yeah,
Johnny Knoxville. And
yeah. Just get all young cast, like Young Guns, but a real violent Young Guns.
It'll be like the 2000 version of Mobsters. Remember that movie from the 90s?
Yeah, like get Hilary Duff in it.
The whole crew of Entourage.
Yeah, that would be great. Get Turtle in there. Jeremy Piven, why not? He could play the Ernest Borgnine part. It'd be genius. Oh, good God, do not remake The Wild Bunch, for Christ's sakes. But besides that, let's check out the Harsh Times trailer.
What's it like to just straight up whack him up?
You point and shoot. Pop, pop, move on. You do not stop and think.
Did you like it?
Creator of Training Day.
Sup, Sylvia? Shoot me an outfit.
What up, dog?
Those are copies of your resume. Call me if anything happens, okay? I love you.
I love you, too.
Honey, no drinking.
Breakfast. Oh, I gotta find a job and play kid my baby. She'll be cool.
Department of Homeland Security wants me to come in tomorrow to start testing.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Craziest head I know is gonna be a fed.
I'll be super recruit. You're gonna love me.
Yeah.
Some very important people have an eye on you, Jim.
Recognize these guys? Should work in a deli how you slice these guys up. I need someone who can get things done on my task force in Colombia.
I'm supposed to get married, sir.
I got Colombia. It's not what you want. You can hit the door.
What exactly would I be doing?
On the streets of L.A.
This is our last chance to hang. Let's roll.
Loyalty is everything.
One boy!
You're a dead man.
Leave him alone!
Yes!
Outstanding, sir!
Deception is everywhere.
Kick back, have a couple pistols.
Will you like them?
Crack! Turn that bato into a fountain of blood!
Don't faze you at all?
And the only ride...
You're crazy and you're dangerous, and my biggest nightmare is you with a badge!
Who are you looking at?
...is to the edge.
James, slow down!
You want your promise, psycho?
Are you gonna be happy once he's dead?
Christian Bale, Freddie Rodriguez, Eva Longoria.
I'm going to jail. I can dump these guys.
See the man?
You're like my brother. You're all I've got.
Harsh times.
I'm a soldier of the apocalypse.
Hey, I'm a big Christian Bale fan. I can handle him being psycho for 2 hours.
I'm sorry, I just have a hard time with a white British guy doing a bad American accent and saying Vato.
We'll see what happens with that movie. Now, Bill, the Borat movie came out. Did you get to see that yet?
No, I haven't, and I really want to. I think I'm going to try and go tomorrow.
Have you guys heard good things about it?
Yeah, everything I'm hearing is that only there's about 15 minutes that isn't laugh-out-loud funny, but the rest of it is hilarious.
Freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, I know the Ron dude said that it was really funny. Let's go ahead and check out what's on our TiVos. All right, guys, you know how on all these shows like The Bachelor, Rome, Flavor of Love, all those different things, eventually you have to go visit the parents, right? You get to get have to get parental approval. And this week, The Bachelor, the guy from Rome, what is he, a prince or something?
Something like that.
He's got to go to visit parents. But what I love is the one daughter who has to have the dad who's a gun nut. Let's check it out.
This is what I would grab for the individual that that treated my daughter inappropriately. If somebody ever put their hands on my daughter, you know what? I would come and I would look and I'd seek and try to find. We'd have what we call a situation.
Uh-oh.
When Dennis cocked the gun and he said, "This is the gun I use to get rid of the guys I don't like that are dating my daughter," I knew I had to be on my best behavior.
Thanks, guys.
Please, take care.
I appreciate it.
Oh, whoa. Oh my God.
I missed your code red.
Jesus.
Holy crap. Code red.
You know, those are the I hate those type of guys because they're so full of shit.
Yeah, you're going to murder me if I break up with your daughter? Are you kidding me? Okay, I can understand if you wanted to kill me if I did something to your daughter, but if we get in an argument and I break it off with her or something, you're going to murder me? Give me a break.
Your daughter's a gold digger on a national television show trying to win over a guy.
Yeah. And another thing is you're on television now telling me...
Now you've threatened me on television
murder.
In front of millions of people.
Yes.
You're a confessed murderer. Well, congratulations.
That guy doesn't even come close to violence of flavor of love.
Apparently, I just want to pronounce that correctly.
Yeah, after each season of these shows, they have to have the reunion show where they bring everyone together and they talk about things, which is a bad idea because all these bitches are insane. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's check this out because
Number one, they want to be with Flavor.
Yeah, there's something wrong with them right there.
Yeah, boy!
Here's the definition of the word bedlam. God, mass hysteria. Dogs and cats living together.
Is there somebody in the back?
Holy shit!
I take one of them bitches. Don't explode it.
She has a bomb strapped to her. I love you, Flavor. Blows everyone up. That would be an awesome season finale, though, wouldn't it?
Well, save us all from having to watch Flava Flav and anything else.
Flava of Love. All right, guys, let's get into Heroes. Did you guys check out Heroes this week?
Yes.
And yes. They stopped juggling so many characters, and they focused more on Nikki and her husband, D.L. Hughley. Is that his name? Oh, wait, it's D.L. Hawkins, but I keep thinking Hughley when I see. And this guy has a cool power where he can swim in objects or something. You notice when he's like a ripple effect as he's inside objects? Does that mean does he inhabit it? Like, could he get inside a table and inhabit? As you just
or
go
does he
through
just go
stuff
through
like
it.
Shadow
I think he
cat.
Just goes through it.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm making too much into it. But how cool would it be if he could like get inside like a tiny object and inhabit it or something?
Yes, I want to live at in a glass table.
Yeah, or jump inside somebody's coat pocket or something. That'd be cool. Remember the way it left off last week as Peter was answering the phone at Isaac's hero was calling. He basically was telling him, "You told me to tell you to save the cheerleader, save the world." And I love the part where he says, you know, Ando's on the phone and he says, "He visited me from the future and he had a sword." It's, whoa. And he's like, "Cool, I had a sword?" He wants to know more about that. I thought that was pretty cool. Hero continues to be my favorite character because, is it because he's childlike?
Childlike naivete.
Yeah, and he's like just having fun. His powers aren't a burden or anything. Like, that's one thing about Claire. Like, my life is ruined. It's like, why? You can continue to have a normal life, and if you happen to get in an accident or something, you'll be okay. I don't understand that. There's this weird subplot with her dad finds her real parents and introduces her to him. And I'm continuing to believe that her foster mother is a complete whack job with her Mr. Muggles dog. And it's like, what the hell is that about? Lee's freaking whack job. Did you guys assume that...
I was wanting more in this episode, but...
Definitely.
It didn't...
Yeah, there wasn't a...
I thought they were going to do... I thought last week was a big setup, and this right. week you're going to get a big
payoff.
It was payoff.
More setup, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
The thing with the parents didn't really go anywhere either.
Yeah, I mean...
She wants to know if they have new abilities. She's like, I have diabetes. And she's like, oh, okay, and...
Yeah, how more painful could that scene have been?
Yeah.
You know, well, it was just so slow and irritating.
And then they go outside and he's like, you need anything else? So like, oh, are you guys actors? Are you guys people that just work for him? Didn't you guys get that? They're not her parents,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just took way too long to get to that they weren't her parents and her dad was just trying to get her past meeting her real parents, right?
Right.
That went on way too long, I thought. But,
yeah, and then you had that scene after where the mother reveals that they had tried to find them before.
Because you were really sick when you were a little kid.
Yeah, like they couldn't have revealed that at the beginning of the scene.
Or they couldn't have revealed it to Claire sometime in her life. She was being brought... I guess she doesn't talk to her parents much.
No.
But also...
No. Why?
Okay, here's my deal with Nikki is I'm not that interested in the character of Nikki. Cool, she's a single mom, she's raising a kid, she's got a fugitive husband who shows up.
She's a cam whore.
But they need to, yeah, she makes money from her website, you know, taking off clothes.
Cam whore.
Or cam whore.
Cam whore, as Bill calls her.
It's a simple way of putting it. Now, here's the deal is that her husband is innocent of everything, and we come to find out that he is innocent. Nikki realizes that there's something going on because she blackouts, and she's starting to realize that something's happening. She knows that it's the chick she sees in the mirror, like, winking at her and stuff. So let's check this out.
You need to pull yourself together. You're not real.
Oh, I'm as real as you are.
She's having a conversation with herself. I do this all the time in the car.
No, I have a tumor or something. This is a little crazy.
It's not a tumor.
Hallucination. Is that what you think you are?
Oh, we're a lot of things, Nikki. But we're not crazy.
What do you think DL is going to do when he finds out what we've done?
What we've done?
We framed him. Killed his crew. Stole $2 million. Killed those thugs in the garage. Killed those little bitches at the poker game.
Beaches.
We've been very busy.
Man, we're ripped apart.
Yeah, well. What can I say?
But they didn't do anything to me.
Even witnesses would be sloppy. I did what had to be done. Like I always do. And this is what we're gonna do now. You're gonna get the money. You're gonna take Micah as far away from DL's. I'll do the
talking. Set up, Bill.
Set up.
Nikki.
I need you.
He'll think you're crazy. And then he'll take Micah away from us. He'll put it all together, and when he does, it's really only a question of whether he kills you before he leaves. So you have a choice. You can let DL take our son away from us forever.
Hughley?
Or...
Funny
you can do exactly what I said.
So I forgot earlier is Hero and his buddy get taken by the poker guy, and he wants them to do their trick for him to make some money. And then what ends up happening is Nikki shows up there. They don't see her at the time, and she kills everybody.
Yeah, they've gone to the bathroom because they think they're going to be killed by the poker guys.
Yeah,
because
he sees a gun under the table. And a Hero tries to freeze time, but he gets startled. I guess he's too scared to make his power work or something. Because I think they realize that his power is so incredible that they have to make it where, oh, he doesn't have control of it yet.
Most of them don't.
Right, but they have to emphasize that because us as viewers go, why doesn't he just go back in time? Why doesn't he just zap him out of there? But they have to emphasize that he can't do that yet. He doesn't have a grip on that where he can really, at the drop of a hat, just go bling or whatever like that. DL sees her bringing the money and he thinks he doesn't know about her weird alter ego twin type thing.
Right.
So he just thinks she's a friggin' whack job who has set him up. So they get in a tussle, and he shoves his hand into her heart. What does it look like? He phases his hand into her and, like, squeezes her heart or something?
Probably, something like that.
I thought that was pretty wicked cool, man.
Do you think he killed the evil Nikki or the nice Nikki?
I think he just stunned her. They'll just show her wake up next episode, don't you think?
Yeah.
Does Hero feel so guilty about letting those men die that he'll go back in time and then change any of that other stuff than happening? I don't know. I'm thinking ahead too much.
Yeah, probably not.
You're thinking way too hard about it.
But I'm going to say this, that this episode left me hanging where I wanted to know, hey, what's going up with Matt Parkman? What's going up with Peter and all that? And they left us hanging, didn't they? To tell Nikki's story. And
It was a little disappointing because Nikki is so uninteresting.
I knew they had to get it out of the way, but show some more characters in there, right? And I think her husband is more interesting than her.
He is.
I like that phasing thing.
That's a cool power to have. And it shows, like, why does he care about getting caught by the cops? He'll escape every time, won't he?
Yeah.
So that's Heroes this week. I hope next week will be a better episode. Don't you guys?
They all can't be winners.
No, they can't. It's a long season.
Like, yeah, I mean, they've got to do some bunch of setup.
There were good things about it, and there were things that I thought were like, come on. Yeah, all right, enough about Nikki. I thought it was neat they showed her son's comic books, and, you know, Ninth Wonders comic books, and there's like this crazy lady on the cover.
Didn't you like, the father was like, hey, Ninth Wonders, that's a great book.
Have none of them realized that it's about them?
Yeah, oh, and another thing is, how is Isaac cranking out these comic books when he's shooting smack every day? One of the paintings is missing. It's like set up like a comic book page, but Simone took one of the pictures.
Key elements. Yeah.
And that may mean something. They may be able to find out where the cheerleader went. I wanted that storyline. I didn't want the Nikki storyline. But
and
hopefully,
you didn't want the absentee parents or whatever the
ones that Claire's fake parents. What is that? That was filler, man.
That was way too much.
Too much filler. All right, let's talk about Veronica Mars for a second, Bill. Now, this week on Veronica Mars, remember that poker game that Logan likes to frequent at the college that this guy's running? It gets robbed by these guys in president masks. And Veronica gets her old best friend, who Lily Kane's necklace, stolen off her neck. So this time it's personal, and Veronica wants to discover who took Lily's necklace.
Yes.
Also, she's got Weevil at Show and Tell. He's telling everybody about his gangster lifestyle.
So did it wind up being Patrick Swayze robbing him?
Yeah. The ex-president.
It was Keanu and Patrick Swayze.
Keanu has to go undercover, and they got Gary Busey. Of course, she blames Weevil right away, and that was too obvious for me.
Yeah, that was really horrible.
Yeah, Weevil, like, give me the necklace.
You know, weeks before, it's like, hey, Weevil, how you doing? You getting your life back on track? Wonderful, you're a good guy. Did you steal my necklace?
Well, another thing is, if you watch the robbery, I mean, I even noticed this, I'm not a detective, but the guy was, like, insanely taller than anyone else in the room. He's, like, a big dude. And Weevil's like this little guy. What was she thinking it was him? Was he on stilts or something?
Yeah, and he's packed on a few pounds, so he's like a little chubby guy.
Yeah, what happened to him? He let himself go. Good Lord, man. But Veronica has to go around questioning people, and here's a good scene. Let's check it out. Cool music.
I feel like I'm in the 70s.
Yeah.
Can someone point me to the props department?
Jenny's props.
Where could I find...
I'm Jenny. What do you need?
Someone held up an on-campus casino using a couple of prop guns.
We're the theater department. We don't do guns.
We do Molière. You want a poor man's Tarantino? That would be the film department. If you see them, tell them we just loved their little opening night present.
Which is...
Their stage is covered in Pam.
Who's Pam?
Pam is a cooking spray. We can't walk out there without falling on our asses. We had the temerity to schedule our opening night on the same weekend as their short film festival.
Maybe this is their way of saying break a leg. Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Wow, that was painful, man.
Wow.
What the hell are they doing to this show?
That was like stereotypical theater students, too. It's using big words. And
we do Molière.
But that is true about the film students, poor man's Tarantino's in the film department. That's what you get there. And it turns out that when she goes there, she sees the same masks and guns used in a student film. And it turns out they were stolen. Turns out to be the security guards on campus who robbed the place. I mean, I liked when she ripped the necklace off the little brat's neck, but still, come on, give us something else. This is Veronica Mars, for Pete's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, it's so far below the expectation level of the show. I'm really worried about it.
You know how they have Sweeps Week? This was Filler Week, is what I think it was. I say that, but Smallville hit it out of the park, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Smallville was genius. This
friggin' run.
Is it Sweeps Weeks? Because it have to be if you get Bow Wow on the show. You know what I'm saying?
Solid
the show opens
goal,
up to a Bow
baby.
Wow song, and he's playing some b-ball outside the school, Steven. Bow Wow has to go look at this meteor that just hit. And it's from, yo, what up, dog? What you doing? And he's standing there, and it shows one of the zoners inhabit his body. That was great. It's awesome. And he unfortunately disintegrated his friend. Who's he going to play basketball now with?
Really sad.
But I love how, you know how they do the shocking reveal and then cut to opening credits. But this was a comical reveal and cut to credits. Like, okay, what the zoner's inhabiting Bow Wow's body? And somebody said, it's like, no. Rewind. But first
so
of all,
like, every time they're going to run into a zoner, they're going to go, okay, this one was 6 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Next time it's going to be 2 months
they
earlier.
They had to establish it in the sky to show that it was the pattern when Clark came back. Like, oh, okay, this is when that happened. Oh, okay, I gotcha. Raya is back, the hot chick from the Phantom Zone that was Jor-El's mistress. Is that what we've determined?
Assistant.
Yeah,
assistant.
Yeah, his assistant. I got to tell you, one thing I hated about this episode is no Green Arrow. What the hell? Where's Green Arrow?
No Green Arrow or Lois and her smirk.
Next week will be Green Arrow heavy.
Okay.
Yeah, thankfully next week's going to be all Green Arrow all the time. It'll be
he
awesome.
He was probably busy scrubbing them real hard.
Yeah.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
You know what? He's busy praying he still has a friggin' job.
You know what? I would even say I would have liked to have seen him because his acting's gotten better with each episode. Wouldn't you say?
Maybe Bow Wow is going to replace Sam Jones III.
I've been scrubbing him real hard.
Whoa!
I bet he's been scrubbing the producer's car real hard, keeping his job.
It's like, you get no lines this week, but you know what? My car is really dirty right now. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll get right to it, sir. So, okay, let's get to it. Raya visits, and she's like, hey, Clark, how's it going? Oh, hey, you found my farmhouse pretty easily. I guess my dad told you where it was. And, you know, she has all the powers Clark does. Because they established when they go on a nice friendly jog race together, you see him running down the street. Oh, you cheater! You beat me. That was
you
a great
cut the corner.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was awesome. How long did it take for Bow Wow to find the barn? Also,
6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
He didn't have a computer as good as Chloe's, but there's this...
somehow. Wait. He wound up at the Daily Planet.
Yeah,
in their basement, looking up records.
Oh, didn't you love this scene, Bill? It shows them scrolling through all these things, but he's not even touching the mouse. His hand's hovering.
No whammies, big money.
And slam! That was great. And I love how it goes to a dramatic commercial break after that it established that he's not even touching the mouse! Oh my God, his power, it's infinite! How can he do this?
Yeah, but how did he wind up there, of all places, to look up...
Well, how bad was it with Chloe? Like, are you the new intern? Oh, well.
Yeah, he just brushes right by her.
Jimmy Olsen is following Lex Luthor's car, and the guy is giving a mysterious briefcase to who he thinks is Lex, but it's really Lana. It's the guy investigating the Zod device that's broken, and he's like, I'm getting out of town. Here, you can have this. Get out while you can. She's like, okay. She sneaks the car back in the parking spot. That was a great subplot, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was terrific.
This show's bread and butter is Lex, so they have to have him in every episode. No, you can't give us Green Arrow. You got to give us Lex and Lana every week. God, come on. But here's the great scene is after Rye and Clark are having a great time, little Bow Wow shows up. Let's check out what happens.
You must accept your destiny.
Too bad that destiny's just gotten a little shorter.
Uh-oh.
The last son of Krypton.
The last mofo to call me little Bow Wow. I'm about to kill you.
You're the one who's been coming for me.
And I think it will be worth the trip. What's the matter, Raya? Don't recognize an old friend? It's me.
Barry.
Barry White?
He's one of the phantoms.
Barry.
How do you like the new suit?
What do you want?
To pay back your old man.
Oh, yeah.
For giving me a one-way ticket to hell. But then he had to go and get himself eviscerated. Along with everyone
else. Yeah, I
hate
when they do
ice
that.
Cube you call a planet.
Isn't that the wrong word?
And cut. Bow Wow, that was great. No more need for a second take.
You used the word eviscerate perfectly.
I was great and like Mike, wasn't I? Apparently, what I like about Smallville is you don't have to be an actor. You can just be on the show.
Yeah, all you got to do is know someone.
But you can just walk on and deliver lines like this.
Thought I made myself clear. You only use violence if you were in danger.
Yeah, just like that. I love it.
That's the coldest read ever.
And I think it will be worth the trip.
Ah, good line, Bow Wow. But it's not over yet. He gets underpowered. Basically, he's sucking the power out of every nuclear facility on the way there, right?
Right.
Yeah. And he uses up too much power. Okay, here's the part I don't understand. He shows up at Lex's after they determine if he gets a hold of that Lex device, he'd be more powerful and neither one of us would be able to beat him. And hey, he's at Lex's. How did he know?
He can feel the power, they said.
Oh, even though it's broken, it's just like a remote control or something?
This show is so full of holes, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And this is right. Lana's like, you choose that Zod device or me, and anyway, I'm going to just walk out. Hey, who's this black guy? He's like, I just let myself in, and I'll be taking this. It would have been better if he played himself. Bow Wow, what are you doing here? I'm not Bow Wow anymore.
I'm Barry
from the Phantom Zone.
Jeez, first you were little Bow Wow, then you're Bow Wow. What are you now, for Christ's sakes?
I'm a serious actor is what I am. The Fortress of Solitude has been destroyed. It's just all... It looks depressing now. It's not
it's
lit up.
And
she's
crappy.
Like, well, have you begun your training? He's like, nah, I haven't really started that yet.
Not really going to because the fortress is broken.
Right when Barry is about to kill Martha Kent, all of a sudden he hears that sound that Raya sends out from the Fortress of Solitude. So he shows up there and
goes off just before he's ready to kill Martha Kent.
Yeah, let's check out what happens.
So this is Jor-El's famed Fortress of Knowledge.
Yep, this is it.
I thought it'd be bigger.
Doesn't matter. You won't be staying long.
Ooh.
Big talk, big man. I'm surprised you're still standing. I guess Jor-El was right about how the yellow sun affects you Kryptonian cockroaches. But I'm back.
Cockroaches.
And now, I'm supersized.
Whoa.
You went to McDonald's?
This is the perfect place for the fall of the House of El. Paying for this to your father can be a bitch.
Oh.
Wow, man, he's
they
really
They sure talk- are vulgar on Krypton.
He's really talking smack. He's talking about supersizing. I guess they have fast food places in the Phantom Zone. Remember
big
they-
talk, big man.
Remember, Bill, they determined that he destroyed his home planet by absorbing so much power, and then he came to Krypton to wreak havoc. So he's not even from Krypton. He's just going...
Those
he's a really...
Vulgar aliens.
Barry is just this horrible alien. And what I love is it looks like it's, you know, fear not, guys, because he's got his dad's pendant, and that's all it takes to defeat anything in this show. Just yes. Hold it up and go, and you absorb any bad guy, just like Zod. But not
yes,
before
this incredible light shoots out and the fans turn on to blow air at Clark.
This is what I thought was funny is he goes, well, it looks like it's true. The big yellow sun does give you guys powers. And then he kills Raya. Raya does nothing. She turns around like, ow! And then the beam shoots through her chest. He absorbs Bow Wow into his pendant. And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't be with you longer. It's like, didn't the guy just tell you about the sun? Just take her out into the sunlight or something. Wouldn't that help, you think?
I think it's super cosmic radiation.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sorry, but Raya is the hottest chick on this show, I thought. And they needed to keep her around.
He could have taken her, like, to Mercury, flew her up there real fast, you know. She'd be
just
real close
fly her
to
out into
sun.
Space and hold her in front of the sun. And but he was like, oh, man, it sucks. Thought he didn't have a girlfriend. And
this episode was really
super
bad.
Seed.
But, Bill, didn't you think the best part was the scene with his mom at the end? Let's check it out.
Oh, yes.
Raya sounds like an amazing woman.
I wish you could have met her. She loved this place, this whole world. She barely had enough time to discover it before she gave her life to protect it.
It looks like Krypton gave us more than one hero.
Yes.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, man. I'll miss you, Raya. But I love at the end, it's genius. Bow Wow wakes up in a hospital bed. And can I say that the hospital made two appearances this week? When Lex had to go in there for x-rays, and then Bow Wow.
Well, hospital's got to make at least one appearance every week.
Yeah, we need...
That hospital does the incredible business.
Why haven't they established, like, you know, Dr. Johnson, who's on the show every week, who delivers some comic relief? You guys are in here again? Jeez, what's going on here?
Smallville must be the most dangerous place to live in America.
It is. I want to see their HMOs, man. They're in there every week. I want to see what's going on there. But that's Smallville this week. I love it. I just can't wait for Green Arrow to come back. What do you guys say we check out what happened on this week's Lost?
Does it hurt?
Sorry?
You have a tumor on your spine that is going to kill you.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. My mistake, then.
I think I know how to find Jack, Kate, and Sawyer.
The computer in the hatch wasn't only for pushing the button. I'm pretty sure that it could be used to communicate with other stations.
Huh, why didn't you ever mention that before, Desmond?
Yep.
Because it wasn't convenient.
No luck, dudes.
Ah.
We looked everywhere. Echo's gone.
Saeed, pack your gear. We're going to that computer.
Wait, what about Echo?
We'll catch up to him. We're all going to the same place.
Is that the Predator?
Yeah.
Hello, Echo.
Hello, Echo.
You got me now, Raya. You want me to save your life?
2 days after I found out I had a fatal tumor on my spine, a spinal surgeon fell out of the sky. And if that's not proof of God, I don't know what is.
I know he's a Cylon.
Hey, guys. This guy says that there's 6 stations. So maybe some of these TVs are connected to the other hatches.
Perhaps I could patch in one of the other
TVs. Who the hell is this bitch?
See if we can get another picture. John?
Yeah, we got something.
What is it?
That's a good question.
He's crazy guy with a patch on his arm.
It's a pirate? Colonel Ty is who I think it is.
Could be Colonel Ty.
I guess he'll be expecting us.
Yes, sir.
You have to know. We were desperate. It was all so we could save his life. Ben. I told you before you couldn't trust me.
You say you want to hear my confession. Why? Why now, eh? Show yourself. Where are you? Where?
Are you ready, Echo?
Yes. I am ready. I ask for no forgiveness, Father. For I have not sinned. I have only done what I needed to do to survive. A small boy once asked me if I was a bad man. If I could answer him now, I would tell him that when I was a young boy, I killed a man to save my brother's life. I am not sorry for this. I am proud of this. I did not ask for the life that I was given, but it was given nonetheless. And with it, I did my best. You speak to me as if I were your brother.
You're not? You're not Yemi?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm the Predator. I am.
What did he say, John?
He said, we're next.
Now, I've got to say this, that I didn't know. I don't read a lot of Lost spoilers. I don't read much about Lost during the week. And realized that someone was going to die this week. Apparently everyone else did. I didn't.
Yeah, I knew because they ran an ad during Dancing with the Stars earlier that someone will die.
Oh, really? God, I love when they do that. Okay, Mr. Echo is now dead. We have no idea why. The smoke monster killed him.
I think the smoke monster doesn't know what the hell it wants.
Right. Well, I remember the first time he encountered the smoke monster in season 2, he wasn't afraid when he saw it, right? He just kind of stood there like, what the hell's going on? And it kind of flew around him, and you saw pictures of his life. And this time, he looked scared when he saw it. Like, oh, crap. And it killed him. Let me just say this. I was pissed that Mr. Echo was killed because he's the most interesting person on the show. I don't care about Jack anymore.
I like his backstory.
Yeah, he is. He had an awesome scene where he kills dudes with a machete. Are you killing me?
Yeah,
are
I mean, they were about to chop his hands off. He, just
yeah,
brawls
I would
through.
Go to this dude's church. He kicks ass. It's like he...
I kick ass for the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. And instead it was like, you have sinned. But I love that at the end, it's like, you must confess. He goes, hey, I got nothing to confess about, man. I made my choice, and I'm proud of it. And then he gets killed. But I like that he didn't puss out and go, okay, I'm sorry. But he was like, I'm not sorry for anything I did. I made the decision I need to make. This is my life, is what he was saying. Okay, his character, all characters have a journey, right, that mm-hmm. you hope that they get to on a show. I know some lives are cut short in real life and sometimes on TV shows. His character was ended way too soon because he's still interesting. But maybe they wanted to kill him as he's interesting, unlike someone like Jack, who everyone's sick of.
Right.
Or someone
who's a whiny bitch.
Yeah, or someone like Sawyer. Sawyer is semi-interesting to me. Sometimes they want him to be just the comedic relief. But sometimes he is interesting. Locke can be interesting. Last season, he could be very annoying. But Echo, he was a great character, except for the finale last season where he's like, hey, I got to start pushing the button. Unexplainable why I'm so interested in this right now, but it's my... You know,
got to play. I just got to do this.
Yeah, I just got to do this because the writers are making me. Also, it determines that Henry needs his spine worked on. And there was the scene where Juliet is telling Jack that please operate on him, but then she's showing him on TV. She's holding these cards saying, everything I'm saying is a lie. You could make this happen. All you got to do is make it look like he dies on the operating table. We're sick of him. We don't want to be under his rule anymore. I guess what the viewer supposed to be like, is she telling the truth or is she lying? Who's lying? But I got to tell you this, it's all getting a little tired where I don't really care who's lying.
Yeah. Who's the real tyrant in this bunch? Is he actually keeping the peace?
Right.
In a sense.
And I'll ask.
I think Juliet's the evil one. I'm just totally convinced of that.
Ask a couple of questions, Jack. Just ask a few. Like, ask, what were you guys doing here? What's going on? there's just a few answers that we want and we can move on. I don't need to know what's going on the island. Just tell me a few things. Tell me what they're doing there.
Yeah, I wonder why they haven't done that, because you would think that would be the obvious thing. Like, why are you here? Why am I here? What do you want with me?
I can't believe they killed Echo before we knew what happened when the hatch blew up. Didn't you think they'd explain that first?
Yeah.
And I still find it hard to believe that a polar bear dragged this huge black dude, dragged him into a cave without, like, pulling off one of his body parts or something. And, you know, I don't even care if the smoke monster. Some people are saying, well, his brother Yemi was actually the smoke monster judging him. It's like, why the hell does the smoke monster care if he confesses or not? No, I don't think that's what it is. And that's another thing. When somebody dies, say one of the others kills him, you're like, okay, one of the others killed him. That sucks. But this is some kind of unexplainable, mystical thing. The smoke monster decided to kill the most interesting character on the show, and now he's dead. But before he died, he said, you are all next. Basically, what I thought he was saying is everyone will be judged on this island. Right.
Is the smoke monster some sort of crazy experiment gone awry that it thinks it's the ultimate moral police? I don't understand what's going on.
And it's like when other things have appeared to other people, like remember Hurley saw Dave, was he in his head or was he the smoke monster? When Kate saw the horse, what the hell? I don't know.
And Locke saw a bright white light.
Is it perception?
Yeah, that's what Locke said. I saw a bright white light, and he goes, that's not what I saw. You know, basically he saw all the demons of his past, I guess. The way that the show Lost is spread out, they have to have exciting reveals, but also they have to keep a lot of secrets. I understand that. And they showed a guy with an eye patch in another hatch, and, you know, I was just like, whatever. They gave that away in the previews. They showed us exactly what we saw in the previews. There's nothing else. It wasn't like, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, wait, we don't get to see that. But let's get to Paulo and Nikki for a second. Now, do you know who they are, Steven? Apparently these are two people who won a contest where they get to be characters on Lost. I don't know. Who are these people? It's like, you send away enough box tops, you get to be a character on Lost this week. They get to have a little comic relief. Hey, the toilet still works. And she's like, hey, there's six other hatches. Why don't you see it this TV? You know, I was just like, couldn't they have brought Claire and somebody else along? Why do they need these two characters?
So they can kill them off later.
Yeah.
Are these red shirts, Bill?
Yeah.
Next week is the finale before a 13-week break, am I right?
Yeah, it's the fall season finale.
So I think the way that they're going to end it is we'll be like, oh my God, what a revelation, and we got to wait a while. So maybe that'll happen.
The Sopranos entourage thing.
But what will be great is to fill in that void is Groundhog Day with Taye Diggs. I can't wait to see that. Daybreak.
That looks so bad. So bad.
I'll watch the first episode. I don't know what that's going to be like. But at first I was like, Daybreak, cool, it's about vampires. No, it's about Groundhog Day. But that's Lost this week. Let's, we'll check it out next week. And then we want to talk about it for a long time. All right, guys, Battlestar Galactica. All right, I'm going to say right now that this episode of Battlestar Galactica, for the first time ever, I found the Cylons more interesting than the humans. They keep showing.
I liked this episode.
They show the morale between the humans. Colonel Ty's doing a lot of whining and bitching. Starbucks feeling sorry for herself. And I was like, do we really have to go down this road again with Starbuck? Grumpy Starbuck, drinking too much Starbuck.
Yeah.
Luckily, they nipped that in the bud this episode.
I love the exactly when Adama came in there and just ripped them a new ass, essentially.
He basically was like, okay, this stuff stops right now. If you're going to act like this, get off my ship. Go live somewhere else.
I'm tired of this.
And I didn't think Starbuck was going to do it. She did, and she immediately was like, okay, I'm going to snap out of it. She cuts her hair. She goes to see Casey. And, you know, I have a daughter. The scene where Casey wants her to pick her up and she was cold to her and just walked away, I was like, man, that was cold-blooded, because I could never do that to my daughter. And I know having a daughter makes me think like that, but I was like, damn, that was cold. Colonel Ty, apparently, he wants to just be an alcoholic.
He wants to wallow in his pity.
Yeah.
Know? He wants a pity party.
Yeah.
And he was so much interesting before. And it's like, No, he was way stronger than that, you know, when in the occupation.
Yeah.
Now he's back to his first season character.
Yeah, but he did kill his wife, though.
But
remember,
still,
he acted that way because he thought his wife was dead, and then she showed up, and it kind of brought new life to him, and now she is dead. I hope they find something to do with this character, because the angry guy, the alcoholic, how long is that going to last?
I don't think they'll get rid of him, but they got to do something to him.
I would say, dude, your bunk's going to somebody else. Get out. A whole family could live in here. But anyway, there's the whole thing with the Cylons. Baltar's living with the Cylons. And I thought it was very interesting is that there's this whole deal about Earth. Humans are trying to find Earth, but is this the first time that the Cylons have mentioned Earth, I think?
They've been interested in it, but it's the first time they've ever said they want to go live there.
Right. Here's a scene where they ask Baltar about Earth. Let's check it out.
So, what'd he say?
I haven't asked him yet.
Ask me about what?
Earth. Earth, it's the 13th colony.
Never heard of it.
Do you know how to find it?
Not really, no.
Well, that's unfortunate. There was a hope, my hope, that if you knew the way to Earth, it would justify keeping you alive a little longer. Come on, sit.
Wait. Now, when I say that I do not know exactly where Earth is, that is not to say that I do not know a very great deal about its probable location. Honestly, I spent hours, days, weeks, months, and months on a map that Adama and Rosalind found on Kobol. And I correlated that with our astrometric observations. I doubt anyone here can make the same claim.
We'll get back to you.
What do you care about finding Earth?
Because we're looking for it.
You are?
Yes, we've decided that Earth's going to be our new home.
Well, that sucks. No, you can't live there.
The humans are going there.
But I love he finds the eyes of the lion or something. And they go there, and they apparently the Baystar, it's been hit with a virus, and they're all dying. And there's some kind of object that I guess the old...
They pulled in.
The colonists left behind for the Cylons, if they ever came that way, is what I'm assuming.
Or did it gather something in space that...
I don't know.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Why can't you just go along with they left that for them?
I'm just,
let's just say they left it for him. No, but I mean, yeah, it could have gotten infected with something in space. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
But how could something infected in space that would kill the Cylons just happen to?
Maybe they developed something and then left it there for them.
That's what I would think.
That's all I'm saying. And that was a really, I mean, I just kept picturing the actors like, okay, you're dying in this room. Okay, cut. Okay, everyone get up and run in this room, and you're dying in this room too. And they're like, oh, because it's all the same actors over and over again. Gaius has to kill Six by stepping on her throat. That was pretty disturbing. And there's a whole thing where he starts believing he's a Cylon because she's talking about...
He thinks he's one of the five remaining ones.
Right, because...
I'm beginning to think the Baystar is a Cylon in and of itself.
Well, remember,
that might be one.
Well, remember, she's talking about how Cylons project everything.
Uh-huh.
Like, she's like, right now I'm in a forest or whatever. And he's like, hey, that's exactly what I do with Six all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a Cylon. And he wants to know about the final five. And she says, we never talk about them. Which I thought was interesting. Well, I didn't think the Baystar was a Cylon. The Baystar...
you got the one that's running it, which is that weird creature.
They called her the, what did they call it? The Cybrid, the hybrid or something like that, right?
It's kind of like like in the Minority Report.
Right, but she wasn't a full body. She's like this part body, and she controls the whole ship. I don't think she's a human Cylon type model. She's not one of the 12 models, I don't believe. They said she just babbles stuff, but Leo Ben's like, hey, she's talking about religious stuff. One thing I think is funny is that the Cylons are always bickering at each other. There's Kevin Spacey Cylon, and who I'm pretty sure is a gay Cylon, the way he dresses. You know, am I right, Bill?
Well, Kevin Spacey's gay, so yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to emulate him in every way, apparently. There's Leo Ben, Brother Cavill.
What kind of name is Leo Ben?
I don't know. I like Barry better from the Phantom Zone.
Hey, I'm Barry.
Don't you remember me? I'm Barry.
Wouldn't that be awesome if Bow Wow showed up as a Cylon, one of the five models?
That's why they're trying to keep it under wraps.
But I like that, how they establish some mystery there. She goes, we don't talk about them. And I'm wondering, where are those other five models? Are they in the fleet right now? Or are they off doing their own thing? I don't know. He had the whole thing with Starbuck and all that, and she snaps out of it at the end and goes to visit little Casey. So all is well. And the greatest news of all, Apollo, he's gotten back in shape. They even had the scene where he's
in front of the mirror checking out his six-pack.
He's like, don't ever let me do that again. Got the prosthetics off my face.
Thank God. No more hours in chair of makeup.
No more of my dad hassling me.
Keep jumping, yeah. Fatty.
Yeah, I love when he goes, get your fat ass out of here. I'm going to miss the fat jokes. But let's see what happens next week. This show, I got to say about Battlestar Galactica more than any other show, I never know what the hell is going to happen next week. Ever. Never. And at first I was like, hey, what's going on the Cylon base ship? Like the weird design of it. Like everything's in water. They stick their hands. And yeah. But I thought it was neat. I didn't think it was cheesy. I thought it actually worked. I thought it was pretty neat. When Sharon shows up in the Raptor and there's all the dead Cylon ships just floating in there.
I was kind of wondering, did Sharon get infected when she was there?
She could feel something. I don't know. Maybe it's like old Ben. Like, I feel the screams of a million Cylons in
old
pain.
Old Ben. I wonder if he's related to Leo Ben.
Hey! Leo Ben Kenobi. But that's BSG next week. We'll check it out next week. Good episode. We'll see what else is going on.
I would have to say it's the best show that I watched this week.
Yeah, Smallville, Veronica Mars, Heroes, Lost. Wow.
This is a week.
Let's do the news.
I think it will be worth the trip.
Whoa, scary. Now, Vanessa is not here, so who's going to do the news this week?
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right, Bill.
It's on assignment.
What do you got in the news this week?
Well, where else to end a naked argument than at a Waffle House? Nashville, Tennessee. No shirt, no service? What about no clothes at all? A couple that began squabbling in a motel room Friday morning carried their dispute over to an adjacent Waffle House restaurant in the nude, police said. The woman, who was not identified, told officers she was staying in a room with Larry Boyd when he took a hit of cocaine, started thrashing their room, and choked her. Wow, that's good stuff.
Wow.
She ran in the buff to the nearby restaurant and locked herself in the bathroom. Boyd, also naked, followed her into the restaurant and then fled in a car. He was arrested, still naked, after a short chase by police and was charged with driving under the influence and felony evading arrest, among other charges. It was not immediately clear whether he had an attorney. You know, because that's the last thing they ask whenever you're coked up nude chasing a woman around.
Do you have an attorney, sir? Oh, I can't answer that right now.
Karachi, Pakistan. Britain's Prince Charles and his Duchess have been enjoying the hospitality of the remote countryside of Pakistan this week. A dispatch from the Daily Telegraph Saturday said Charles and Camilla were presented with a 300-pound yak in the village of Altrit, nice. As is custom in the region. And in keeping with the custom, the animal was immediately given back to the village. The gift of a yak is considered a high honor for VIPs visiting Pakistan. And Charles was effusive in his praise for the black and white beast, the Telegraph said. The locals also presented Camilla with a traditional bridal cap that they reportedly had spent 3 days making by hand. The Duchess of Cornwall was delighted and declined an aide's offer to carry it for her as they continued the tour. The visit to the high-altitude Hunza Valley also included a stop at an organic farm, one of Charles' areas of interest. Man, I want to go to Pakistan and get a yak.
Nice.
But I'm not going to give it back. You're giving me this yak? okay.
Yeah, no take backs on the yak. Yeah,
Indian giver.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Fire ignites oxygen tanks and destroys home. Bucksport, Maine, a structure fire that destroyed a house on Morrison Road and resulted in the exploding oxygen tanks bursting through the exterior walls did not cause any serious injuries, according to Bucksport Fire Department. The fire broke out around 3:30 p.m. Thursday at Michelle Morrison's house when an 18-year-old man threw gasoline onto a wood stove fire in an attempt to reignite it. The fire department indicated Friday in a prepared statement the flames instantly exploded from the wood stove and within a few moments were burning through the roof, according to the department. Firefighters arrived about 5 minutes after the blaze was reported and found one section of the house collapsed. The flames had spread throughout the rest of the structure, the department indicated. The fact that there were 14 recently filled oxygen bottles inside the home, some of which exploded through the walls and landed outside more than 100 feet away, narrowly missing firefighters as the tanks shot through the air, complicated the firefighting effort. The man tending the wood stove, whom the department did not identify, suffered some minor burns. No one else was at home at the time, but the family pet, a dog, and two cats have not been found.
Oh, no.
Bummer. What an idiot. Why would you ever throw gasoline on a wood stove fire?
To reignite it, dude. Come on.
Yeah. He must have had some of that coke from the naked guy. Poor cats. And the fact that there were 14 oxygen bottles inside the house, can you imagine being one of those firefighters? It's like going into battle.
Oh, no kidding. That's dangerous.
I mean, was it a bunch of old elderly people live there that need oxygen? Why was there so much oxygen there?
This one's for you, Stephen. There's a report out of Washington that chronic fatigue syndrome, once thought by some doctors to be a physiological problem, or even an excuse for malingerers, is a real disease that affects more than 1 million Americans, the U.S. Center for Disease and Control and Prevention said on Friday. Early diagnosis and treatment of the disease are important for recovery, even though it's not clear what the best treatments are. What? You know, you really need to get that
so
treated, but I have no clue what
just
to
get
do
some
about
sleep,
it.
Dude. Get some sleep. You seem tired.
This is good. This is out of Ratcliffe, Texas. Do you know where that is?
Ratcliffe? No, I do
yeah.
not.
Ratcliffe. Ratcliffe. Well, it's too bad, but a freak accident left a man hospitalized on Friday after he was apparently stabbed by antlers.
Whoa.
Authorities say Paul Nash, 45, and his girlfriend, Gayla Fowle, were driving on Highway 7 from Ratcliffe when they hit a deer. Fowle called 911 as Nash got out of their pickup to check the vehicle's damaged headlight and clear debris from the roadway. Officials believe another vehicle came along and hit the dead animal or part of the mangled remains. The antlers apparently flew up and stabbed Nash in the side.
Damn.
Talk about bad luck. An official at East Texas Medical Center in Tyler said Nash is in fair condition in the intensive care unit. Ratcliffe is about 135 miles southeast of Dallas.
Oh, okay. We ought to visit there sometime.
Yeah. That's really horrible luck.
That's a great thing.
Steven!
That's horrible.
Here's a story that's just really bizarre. I could never just put... This is just weird. Movie veteran Burt Reynolds' biggest regret is missing out on the role of Han Solo in the classic 1977 film Star Wars.
Jesus Christ.
Can you imagine Burt Reynolds as Han Solo?
The bandit.
I'd love
Han
that.
Solo.
That would be totally different movie, man.
The 70-year-old actor lost the part to Harrison Ford, who was then an unknown working as a carpenter. And he's still losing sleep over the missed opportunity. But Reynolds refused to take all the blame for missing out on the legendary role. He admits, "I think that has to be the biggest mistake of my career. I blame the agent. It was not all down to me." I wonder if his toupee would have been included.
Did he have a toupee back then?
Oh, switch off.
So.
Yeah, he's always been bald, hasn't he? It's like, yeah. Sean Connery. They wore
that
the
would
rug.
Have been bizarre to see Burt Reynolds as Han Solo.
You know what? If he, I wonder how much in the running he was into it, because that would, if you were like right there the whole time, and but then you lost it the last thing, that would drive me nuts. This is what I've always wondered about, Bill, like with Star Wars, is like someone who played Biggs, where your part was a little bit larger, and you're always, but this is what I've also always wondered. Remember, there's a fat dude playing Jabba the Hutt,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. those cuts. Do you think he was like, yeah, I'm in this new movie called Star Wars. I can't wait to see it. And then there on opening day, he's like, I thought you were in this movie. Oh, I swear I was. I would. No, I don't think so.
And then when he finally gets his chance, they're
putting it back in, hot dog. And no, we're overlaying digital Jabba over you.
CGI Jabba.
Damn it.
Last story out of Dallas. Texas got a lot of news this week.
Nice. Yeah.
A driver was fined $500 for playing a pornographic DVD in his vehicle in West Oak Cliff. Robert Nelson was driving in the 4400 block of LaRue Street about 10:15 p.m. Sunday when he was pulled over by two Dallas police officers who saw the movie through Mr. Nelson's rear window. Mr. Nelson, who said that a friend had left the DVD in his vehicle and that he didn't know it was playing, was cited for displaying obscene material.
Nice!
Yeah, that's my friends. I didn't know it was playing.
Man, that never works. Why even bother? Even if it was your friends and he just goes, oh, thanks a lot, man. See you later.
That's
and he gets
so
out.
Pathetic.
And you get pulled over. It's just like, yeah, it's mine. What the hell? I'm not even going to try the it's not mine crap.
That totally sucks. And that's the news.
I can't get to my ass.
That's so disturbing. You know, she was on Def Comedy Jam last week.
No.
I flipped right through it. I was like, oh, her again? Click.
Oh, Rod.
Sorry.
And that's news this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. You did a good job. Commendable, sir.
I try.
Anything in cult news this week?
Yeah, you know, there's a little bit going on.
All right, let's check it out. All right, cold news. What do we got going on this week?
Let's hit up the evangelicals a little bit this week. Reverend Ted Haggard is the president of the National, or was the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, which includes 30 million American members, amidst a growing scandal about his personal life. Well, he resigned amid a growing scandal about his personal life. Haggard has admitted that he bought illegal drugs, methamphetamines, from a gay prostitute.
Not interesting.
Yeah. Mike Jones, a male escort, a man whore, says that Reverend Haggard paid him for sex regularly over a period of 3 years, and that the minister likes snorting methamphetamine to heighten the experience.
The guy was gay. Gay.
Yes, let's snort meth before you plow me in the ass.
Yes.
The disgraced minister has confessed to the overseers of the 14,000-member New Life Church he led in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Haggard has temporarily stepped aside. Yeah, I don't know how temporary that's going to be.
I'm sensing resignation.
Yeah, pending the results of an internal church investigation concerning the allegations.
Possible
Haggard,
jail time.
Yeah, married and the father of five. Was named by Time Magazine as one of the top 25 most powerful evangelical leaders in the
wow.
United States.
For you, I'm Christmas tree.
You know, at least Jimmy Swaggart was screwing a whore. You know, he was, you know, it was straight sex. What? Gay sex and meth? That's just, oh, that's bad.
And to heighten the pleasure of the gay sex.
Yeah. Now, get this. The guy, you know, 50-year-old minister, told the press, I bought methamphetamine for myself, but I never used it. I was tempted, but I never used it.
Yeah, that's for those guys in the future who are like, I know it's debauchery, but hey, it's not gay debauchery, so come on.
However, Hackard's claims sound eerily like the much ridiculed remark of Bill Clinton, who once told the press that he experimented with marijuana a time or two, but he didn't inhale.
So he's like, I tried meth, but it did nothing for me? Is that what
No, he's saying he bought it, but he didn't use it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Definitely not the same thing.
Carefully parsing his words, Haggard said he received a massage, but he had never had sexual relations.
That's like the same thing.
Yeah. We couldn't have that now, could we?
He's scrubbing them real hard.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
Many Christian fundamentals are embarrassed by the recent disclosures about the minister, including Dr. James Dobson, asshole, of Focus on the Family, another powerful evangelical leader and close associate of Haggard. Ted Haggard was an outspoken opponent of gay marriage, but he may have favored gay prostitution. It made me angry here that someone preaching about gay marriage and going behind the scenes is having gay sex, said Mike Jones, the male escort that exposed Haggard. I just want people to step back and take a look and say, we're all sinners, we all have faults.
Isn't that weird that, like, you do secret gay sex, so I know my cover will be, I'll speak out against it.
You know that really creepy guy on Trinity Broadcasting Network, the big white-haired quaff, and he's got the wife that looks like Tammy Faye Baker?
Yeah.
Well, his name's Paul Crouch. A few years ago, he paid an employee a quarter, or I think it was half a million, who alleged he had sex with the televangelist. So, you know, this is not uncommon. There is something, maybe it's being so repressed or, you know, going to religion to try to heal yourself.
How come they don't put it in their sermons like, hey, gay sex, maybe not that bad. Why don't they just do that?
I don't know, but it's just so bizarre. You know, there's,
I can't remember.
There's
I was high
this
at the time.
Hypocrisy that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's all hypocrisy. I'd rather it be a hip-hopracy, Bill, Steven.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You could nice. Bring on Bow Wow, and he could bump it. Bump it.
Damn, dude. Look at that chunk, dude.
Now let's leave the evangelicals behind and hit a little Scientology news. Entertainment columnist John Murphy, that's J-A-W-N. I know.
J-U-W-N.
J-A-W-N.
Oh.
John.
Oh.
Like yawn, but with a J.
Oh my God!
He says he got a phone call from a friend informing him of a physical altercation that had jumped off last Wednesday, pitting Brandy and her girlfriends against members of the First AME, which is the church, this fame church. And I guess this fight took place during a Bible study class.
Whoa.
Yeah, according to Murray, the singer rolled up to the South L.A. church with her friends after having just come from a Scientology meeting.
Uh-oh.
Brandy and company, who are not members of the church, reportedly began challenging some of the Christian principles taught in the Bible class, including a question about lust.
Bitch.
Suddenly, according to Murray's source, a fight broke out between her friends and the church folk. Chairs were flying, curse words were being dropped, and Brandy reportedly knocked over some chairs on her way out of the building.
Wow, who knew?
Angry Scientologists.
Man, I had no idea she was like
that. Oh, hold up, look up!
Let's get audited and then go to church.
So, okay, she just came from a Scientology meeting.
Yeah.
And decided to go to a Christian meeting and then kind of go, hey,
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Question there, but
it's a rumor that she's a Scientologist.
So, is she a Scientologist?
Yeah. Anyone that says she isn't full of shit.
An electropsychometer.
So she believes in the whole body thetans and all that?
She probably doesn't even know about it yet.
Thetan.
Yes, that's right, Thetan. Now, this is good about... Brussels just rocks. I mean, it's just Belgium, Brussels, great country. And this just makes it even better. Home to the institutions of the European Union, Brussels markets itself as an ideal home for any kind of international organization. But the city has been less than welcoming to its latest foreign guest, the Church of Scientology. To the annoyance of the church's senior officials, a newly purchased three-story property earmarked to become their Brussels headquarters has been invaded by squatters. Their anger with the illegal lodgers is nothing compared to their beef with the Brussels authorities, who have declared the church persona non grata and say they will not enforce eviction orders. Freddie Thelemans, the mayor, claimed that the only activity of the church was to raise money from idle people who can be tempted by their message. He has vowed to use all available means to prevent it from setting up its European headquarters in the city.
He can't do that.
That rocks. I mean, come on. The fact that they buy this place, there's squatters in it, and now the mayor's basically saying,
eh, too bad.
We don't want you Xeno wackos here.
Xeno!
And that's cult news for this week.
I don't like this Scientology business. Yuck, yuck, yuck!
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing cult news this week.
No problem. I do what I can, you know.
Are we going to do DVDs this week?
Let's do some DVDs! Ow! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs!
Oh, hot damn!
I like that little throat clearing of Stevens before.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be bigger.
Huh? What is he talking about?
I don't know.
All right, Bill, what do we got? DVDs this week? What's going on? You know what I'm saying?
These DVDs are for November 7th, 2006. First one is for you, Jason. It's Beverly Hills 90210, the complete first season.
Oh,
I know
hell
how much you
nice.
Love
yes.
this show, especially the first season.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Yes, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
It must be really good.
I love 90210.
Six discs, 1,068 minutes. If you want to flash back to the year 1990, pick it up.
Now, all I got to ask you, Bill, after giving me information like that, I have one question.
Are you an angel?
I am. The next DVD is Cars, the Disney Pixar film. Now, from what I understand, this was actually the film that they were going to make before they, Pixar, distanced themselves from Disney. Have you heard that?
No.
Yeah, I heard that they were making this as kind of like the final film, like the FU to Disney, so they weren't really going to put a lot of effort into it. Now, from what I hear, it isn't their best film.
Really? I've heard that it's fantastic.
Really? Talking Cars?
Yeah, it didn't look that interesting to me, but I've heard it's really good.
Well, I'll probably pass on it. I might rent it. But it's coming out, and it's widescreen, and of course the full screen for you Walmart buyers.
Oh, hell yeah. We can pick up a full screen. Want that,
yeah,
that
I don't like them back the lines.
But how many times have you been in a store and you're reaching for your widescreen DVD and someone goes, oh, and they reach for the full screen?
Yeah, too many times. To the point where I'm tired of saying, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Stop
like, I've
that!
Gone to the point where
you're
I just can't
so
correct them
stupid!
Anymore.
Exactly.
This DVD's one disc, has a couple features on it. No commentary or anything of that sort.
I'm sure they're going to release. I'm sensing a two-disc set coming out after this.
Exactly.
The double
So
drip.
If you think you can wait, do it. Next DVD is Cinema Paradiso, limited edition collector's box.
Excellent film.
Yeah, this is really a terrific foreign film. I think
it's
called
Jimmy. Go!
Didn't it win the Best Foreign Film Oscar in like 89
I believe it's
or 90 or something?
Essentially, this film is about the love of cinema.
Yeah.
Can I put it any better than that?
No. And, you know, you really kind of have to be a fan of the film, but if you've never seen it, you should and you will be a fan.
Yeah, Netflix it.
Yeah, but I'm definitely, once I get a little cash in my pocket, I think I'm going to pick this one up.
Good purchase, Bill.
Yeah. Next DVDs, if you remember, gosh, almost whenever DVD first came out, they started releasing those James Bond collections.
Right.
Where it was like, you know, 10 films in each box. And then they went out of print. And now they're doing it again, but they're releasing them in smaller collections. Now we have...
I'm just going to sit here drooling over my boxes.
the James Bond collections, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Volume 1 has Goldfinger, The World Is Not Enough, Diamonds Are Forever, The Man with the Golden Gun, and The Living Daylight.
Isn't it sacrilege to mix them all up like that?
Yeah, it really is. You would think that they should release them in, like, chronological order.
Yeah, I don't want...
I mean, mixing...
You don't want your Sean Connery mixing with your Roger Moores.
Yeah,
and your Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton thrown in there.
Yeah.
Volume 2 has Thunderball, Die Another Day, The Spy Who Loved Me, A View to a Kill,
what the
and
hell?
License to Kill.
Who's going to buy this crap?
I would get Thunderball, The Spy Who Loved Me, and A View to a Kill, maybe. And License to Kill was good.
Get the bones.
Why can't I sound like that when I mumble? When I go like, why can't I go, bah, 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 get the bone? I need to be quicker.
Yeah, I think you need to be on some severe drugs to sound like that.
Yes.
I'll have to get some. Next DVD is A Little Man.
No.
Oh, I remember mentioning this film before.
Yeah. What's funny is the cover says, from the guys who brought you White Chicks. It's like, I gotta pick that up.
That's a selling point.
It's like, what a selling point. Hey, this piece of crap comedy was made by that other people.
Who made that other piece of crap comedy?
Yeah, hey, I'm gonna pick it up.
Yeah, and if you really have too much money, there's a day and date release of it on Blu-ray.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet that looks incredible in high def.
Find out. Next DVD is Police Squad, the complete series.
Oh!
I remember the entire series on Nick at Night.
Frank Drebin.
And it was hilarious.
That was a great show.
Buy it, but...
do you think it holds up now?
Yeah, I think it held up 20 years ago. Why wouldn't it hold up now?
I guess, okay.
I mean, Goofy's Goofy. This has a brand new interview with Leslie Nielsen, hysterical audio commentaries by the creators on select episode.
Okay, I remember watching this on TV. I don't think they gave it much of a chance at all.
No, it was only on, like, 3 or 4 episodes.
Good lord.
Yeah.
They've been doing the same crap, these networks, since the beginning of time.
Yeah, next DVD is a Gary Cooper film that I saw when I was a little kid and really kind of made me love film, and that's Sergeant York. It's a really terrific film, World War One film, a true story, and it's just, I can't praise it enough. It's one of those movies that just really made me love movies, and I'm glad it's finally getting a good release from Warner Brothers.
Where boners go to die.
What?
What did that mean, Foggy?
I have no idea. Now, this is interesting. I have no idea what this movie is, why it's been made, what it's about. I think I'm going to have to read the synopsis. But it's called Totally Awesome. And it has Dominique Swain, Tone Loke, Brittany Daniel, Ben Stein, and it looks like Chris Kattan.
What an incredible cast.
Yeah,
uncomfortable, isn't it?
It says, do you prefer to wax on or wax off? Preacher won't let you dance? Well, then put baby in the corner and come on down. Because VH1 is bringing back more of the 80s you love in its feature-length film, Totally Awesome. Good lord.
Is it a spoof movie?
Is it like?
I guess. The Gundersons have moved across the country and the kids, Charlie, Lori, and Max, are trying their best to acclimate themselves into a new school and all kinds of dilemmas therein. The need to dance, the pitfalls of young love, the quest for popularity, scientific genius, and of course the quirky but lovable Japanese gardener.
Yippee.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll pass on the 80s.
He's a nice guy. Let's do it.
You know, the fact that they made this for VH1 doesn't bode well.
Yeah. The people who brought you Notorious with Tori Spelling. Yeah, I think I'm going to skip it.
Short-lived.
The people that brought you Breaking Bonaducci.
And the people who brought you Flavor of Love.
Last DVD
No!
A 20th anniversary special edition of Transformers the movie.
Oh, hell yeah, baby.
Now, this has been released once already on DVD, and I own that one.
Can
this
you
one
dig it?
This one interests me because it's a two-disc set. I have no idea what's on it. There's no listing or cover information, like, on the back of the cover. But I might have to double-dip on this one. Maybe they've remastered it. Maybe they've gone back and found new elements. I remember the original release wasn't the best-looking one. But I just, you know, 1986, that was prime time for me. You know, cartoons, Transformers, GoBots, you know, all the...
Oh, hell yeah. It was a renaissance.
Yeah. It was a renaissance of robots that form into something else.
Right.
Okay.
Remember Voltron? Loved Voltron.
Oh, hell yeah. The lions, they form a dude, form Blazing Sword.
Yeah.
Awesome. And by the way, the GoBots... Ghetto version of Transformers.
Hey, I had a GoBots lunchbox. I loved the GoBots. Because the GoBots, you know, Transformers didn't come on as much as GoBots. I could come home from school and watch GoBots.
Dude, it would GoBots be on, sucked.
It would be on like on around 3 or 4 o'clock and I'd have to fight my sisters for the remote because they always watch General Hospital at 3 o'clock.
Oh, man.
But... I would be able to watch GoBots, and then Transformers for me was on Saturday mornings. It wasn't on after school for me. So I never got to watch it every day, but I loved when I did watch it. That and Robotech, which was the Americanized version
oh,
of
yeah.
Macross.
Oh, hell yeah, mother sucker. I love Robotech.
I even had a Robotech ship that I got once with the little guys with the magnets in their boots. So that you could, like, put them on the ship, and I love that. But, yeah, Transformers the movie, 20th anniversary special edition. If you're if you remember 1986, you probably remember this movie fondly, if not for the music.
You know, I didn't like it that much, and I like Transformers.
You got the touch!
Oh, my God!
I can't believe they didn't try to time that with the release of the movie.
They kill Optimus Prime, and they change Megatron into some other stupid robot to sell more toys, essentially. Yay!
Yeah, there's that thing. I can't even remember the names. There's the thing that goes around at the beginning and then eats the worlds, and then Megatron gets sucked into it, and he becomes a new robot. And
man.
Then Hot Rod gets that... ball of light.
Proposal to jack off.
Hey, but, you know, I was, what, 8 years old? I
yeah.
was eating this shit up with a spoon.
Yeah, I just was like, man, what the hell did they do?
You could have shoved this in front of my face and be like, oh, shit, I'm gonna eat it.
Who wrote this thing? George Lucas? He ruined it.
And that's DVDs for November 7th. 2006.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing DVDs this week. We really appreciated it. I got
no
my
problem.
Wallet out. I'm going to buy some right now. What do you say?
Hey, man!
Exactly. Everybody, that was episode 59 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. And if you'd like to give us any kind of feedback, yes, that's right, feedback, like on Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
Why God forbid anybody, you know, I'm gonna just throw this out there. You know, podcasters put a lot of work into what they do, and you just kind of want something back from your listeners. Lately, I don't know if you guys are getting lazy or what, but we're not getting voicemails, nobody's going to the forum. Come on, help us out here. We do this every week for the fun of it, but we also kind of like a little bit of feedback.
Right, I would appreciate some feedback every once in a while. I know Steven would.
I need to do some more forum work. I know I've been really lazy about it, but then
well,
again,
I
travel like crazy and sometimes,
well, we don't need
you know,
feedback from you, Steven.
No. I mean, no.
Well, you
I
know what,
Steven?
I've
even
been really lazy about it, too, because I just get so discouraged that nobody posts there, so I don't post.
Yeah, you know, I can understand
that's what I'm
why
saying about me posting.
It's a graveyard, is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, but if you would like to possibly do that, go to nowhereinmulberry.com, look to the right. You'll see a link to our Steven's size.
Yeah. We know it's 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday. We don't mean to keep you up.
I'm getting old.
If you look to the right, you'll see a link to our forum. Join our forum and talk to us. We love you. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, much like Eugene, the Mystery Man, Rondu, all those people, call 1-206-202-3491. Perhaps you're angry at us for the way we treated Veronica Mars or Smallville or Heroes this week. Let us know about it. Let us have it. Unleash
what did
your
you
anger
think
on
about
us.
Him?
Yeah, what did
yeah,
you...
Yeah, did you think they were weak, too?
Yeah, maybe Nikki is your favorite character and you're really pissed off right now. Let us know it. Let us have it. And in fact, before I move on, may I say I got a nice email from JD from Ottawa, Canada, and he says, just wanted to throw out a random email and say that I love your podcast. Right there, it warms my heart. I don't know about you, Stephen and Bill.
It makes it all worth it.
He said, I was checking out some of the links on the Hollywood Saloon. Hey, HollywoodSaloon.com,
nice.
Our buddies over there. And they link us. He found our show from their site. It's really cool. He said, I found you guys. Glad I did because it's a great listen. But I got to ask, he says, you guys are so funny and sarcastic most of the times that I can't always tell if you actually like the shows you watch. He says, I mean shows like your reviews of Smallville are hilarious. He says, that clip that you always play of Green Arrow about being in danger, please play that again on the show. Hey, don't worry. We play it every week. He says, it'll always make me laugh, but do you really like the show, or are you just making fun of it? First of all, we love Smallville.
And we love to make fun of Smallville.
We love to make...
See, Smallville is one of those shows where you have people that take it serious, but this show is just...
It's so laughable. It's so ridiculous. I mean, come
on. The writers really have to be laughing their asses off.
And I gotta say, the show, Smallville, is lazy. It's really lazy storytelling. It's writing 101.
And, but it's fun.
But it's so entertaining. I can watch other bad shows, and they're no fun. This show is always fun. We got all this great assortment of characters. You have the always visiting the hospital. You have the always barging in on Lex.
You've got the bad acting.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's a great
show. Somebody knows somebody and gets to appear in an episode.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. And he also says, take it easy. You have a lot of listeners up here in Canada. Hey, the Great White North loves Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you, sir. May I say that I love Canada? You guys know I love hockey. It's like a religion up there. I want to move up to Canada, except whenever I
except
see...
Except it's too damn cold.
I love curling. Curling rocks.
This is what keeps me from going up to Canada. You see a magazine or a comic book, it says $3 US, and it says like $5 Canada. Whoa, I can't afford that, man.
When I was a teenager, I lived with my father in a suburb of Canton, just outside of Detroit. And we would actually go over to Windsor across the Ambassador Bridge and go shopping. Because it was, you know, it was cheaper. And also, there was always curling on the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company. And we would always watch it. Canada's just cool. I mean,
you know,
come on. Stratford, Canada, the Shakespeare Fest, awesome.
Okay, to show I'm not lying about liking hockey and stuff, my wife loves it more than I do. She bought the hockey package on DirecTV at our house. But she also got it at her parents' house and paid for it over there so she can watch hockey when she's over there. That's how
crazy she is.
That's like intense hockey.
She's got to see. Right now, I guarantee you she's watching Saturday Night Hockey in Canada with Don Cherry and all that. She loves all of that. She loves all those shows. It's what she lives for. So.
And if she ever sees hockey in high definition, she'll buy a TV set.
Yes, she will. That's why we got to show her that. And I got to tell you this right now. If you guys want to start a Canadian collection to have Nowhere in Mulberry visit Toronto or something, or Ottawa, we're there, aren't we? Let's
go.
But only if they pay for it.
We'll do a live show at Degrassi. Awesome.
Nice.
Or at a Tim Hortons or something like that.
Can we get Caitlin to appear?
Yes. Stacy Mistison. Hey, we're there. So, guys, I hope you...
Joey.
Yeah, not Joey. Sorry. He looks creepy with his bald head. Only the chicks. Maybe Spike. She's kind of hot.
She's
now.
Cute. Yeah. Spike's daughter on the new Degrassi.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but see, one email cheers us up, man. That's all we need. And there's certain listeners we don't need to hear from, like Lord of the Losers. Oh. And in fact, if you're listening right now, I told you you can't listen. Turn it off. Banned.
Yes, he's no longer allowed to listen to the show.
Banned from listening. So turn it off. And if you did listen to this episode, it's the last one. You can't listen anymore.
From now on, we're going to put like a bio signature in the show. And if you listen, it shocks you.
It's like an EMP. It shorts out the EMP3.
An arrow EMP.
All right, guys, that's the show. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
See ya. Much love.
Week, try the veal and
now this is podcasting.